Welcome to the Fireworks Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Dan Yusuf. On this episode, we are going to be talking to Aldo Makori. Aldo is a Nigerian lawyer, entrepreneur, a social activist, a public speaker, and creative industry expert. But many of us may know him as the co-founder and president of Chocolate City. Chocolate City, at the time, had signed to its roster MI, Jesse Jags, and Ice Prince. On this episode, Aldo shares stories and insights of what it takes to be a creative entrepreneur in Nigeria. I must tell you though, this episode was recorded last year over Instagram Live during the height of the pandemic in a lockdown. I believe even though the stories are a year old, the stories and insights Aldo shares are still very much relevant. I hope you enjoy this episode. If you're new, consider subscribing and giving us a good rating and sharing with your friends. Thank you. Enjoy as you listen.
I'm great, man. That's nice to connect with you. You know, I've followed you guys and your journey since I've just admired, you know, what you built with Chocolate City. I'm just very excited to hear you share your story and hoping that, you know, everybody that is joining can learn.
Thank you. Thanks. And thanks for the opportunity. I'm very, very excited about talking because when I share, I learn as well. So for me, it's a two-way street that I'm learning, but I'm also sharing. But I'm really excited about young creatives because I feel that the destiny of this country lies in the hands of people like yourself. Other people who are using the intellectual property that they have to enhance and to advance society. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So let me just give a bit of background for everybody that is tuning in. My name is Jesse. I run a media and technology company called Fireworks here in Abuja, and we've been around since 2017. So we started this thing, a monthly event called Campfire, because we wanted to document African stories of entrepreneurship. Because once you meet a big man that has made it, you know, what's the first thing? And you ask them, how did you get here? You know, the answer you get usually is, now God. And that is not a lie, you know, God is involved, Oluwa is involved, but you know, I think we need to document our stories of our successes, our failures. Mm-hmm. We need to share lessons, basically. And entrepreneurship is something that I know some people say people are born with it, but I also feel to an extent it can be caught, you know. So that's why we're doing Campfire. I want people to document their story. So we've done 11 of these.
Oh, wow.
But we are we're about to do the 11th one. Then COVID-19 happened and we canceled it. So I've been using, you know, Instagram to just interview people, and you're the third person that's coming on Campfire Live. So excited to be here. So
thank you.
Are you ready for questions?
I was born ready, man.
Okay, great. So let's see. How are you doing, though? How are you managing, you know, the crisis, COVID-19 being quarantined? How are you facing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, even if you get depressed, I think one thing that consoles you is that everyone is going through the same thing. So, yeah. And I think that changes how you perceive things. And I think perspective is very key in everything you do in life. Think about it. If this was happening to you, Jesse, by yourself, you'd be going out of your mind.
Yeah.
Right? You'd be like, absolutely. It's just me, you know. But when you look and see that every other person has the same situation, then you calm down, like, well, okay, so let's figure this out. So I'm at that point whereby you're like figuring out how to cope with it and thinking about how to take advantage of the chaos.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I'm good.
Okay, you know, I like the way you put that, because I think, and I hope I'm not wrong, when you guys launched Chocolate City, it was probably, you guys launched it just before the global recession, you know, and so around that time, I know Talk About It came out 2008,
So we started business in 2005. So this year we're 15 years.
Oh,
we're 15 years.
Wow,
this year.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thanks. So we're 15 years this year. But let's just say that when we started, there was no structured music industry in the first place.
Yeah.
It was a time when people didn't really believe. I mean, if you said to someone you're doing music, they'll laugh at you. Uh-huh. In fact, my friends used to laugh at me behind my back, like, Aldo is just crazy. Like, how can a lawyer like him be running around trying to do stuff with musicians? Like, how the hell is he? I remember one time we're in Abuja, wow. Coming from Lagos, and we're at a friend's dinner party at a Chinese restaurant. There were a bunch of us, maybe 20, 25 of us, boys and girls. And so one of my friends pulled me to the side, Fima said, so what are you doing in Lagos? So I said, well, I'm doing this music thing. I'm trying to promote. I have this label. And she said, okay. So then what were your friends laughing at you? So I'm like, oh, so my friends were laughing at me. And yeah, and they, wow. They're laughing because, yeah, they thought that it was crazy. And there wasn't a lot of thinking that it would yield any fruit. So it wasn't a great time. I remember that because I was in practice in the law firm of Afe Babalola, SAN & Co. And I remember that my former boss, when I told him I was leaving to do music, he said, are you mad? You're a lawyer. You can't be doing music. For real, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the perception then. 15 years later, it's changed. So for me, it's that you need to go with your heart and sometimes your head when you're doing business.
Absolutely.
But you need to go. Yeah. And my heart and the heart of my colleagues, my partners were like, look, there's something here. We believe it can work. We don't know how it's going to work, but we're going to put in all the work that we can and pray to God to help us. And here we are.
So give us, if you can go a little bit deeper, you know, this is from UJ, you guys are organizing events. And who was the first artist that caught your eye? Like, I think we can do something with this.
Okay, if you need to go back, we'll go backwards because so as a youth corporate in 2001, my business partner Paul Okoko started something called the Guild of Artists and Poets, and the Guild of Artists and Poets actually was like a dead poet society. If you watch the movie, it's the kind of place where people. Have you heard of Tarawa?
Yes.
Yeah. So Tarawa is actually an offshoot of Gap. The people that started.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an offshoot of Gap. Gap really was that forum where creatives come together and we play music. People are freestyling, right? People are writing poetry. And we had this meeting that we started in 2001. And by 2004 or 5, we had 3 Gaps across the country. We had one in Lagos, we had one in Jos.
Wow.
And it was Jos Gap that connected me with MI and Paul with MI.
Oh, okay.
Because all the Gap members used to come to Gap because it was the coolest thing right there. So I met 6 Foot Plus, the rapper, through Gap. Because he used to come to Gap. And then what we did with Gap was that our theme was explore your leisure, expand your mind. Explore your leisure, expand your mind.
Okay.
Yeah, so the idea really was saying getting people, because what happened was that, you know, then as a corporate, we spent weekends drinking and just having fun and partying and things like that. But we found out that when people were a bit inebriated, people were more, you know, there's some kind of knowledge that comes out. People give a lot of information. We're like, this is great content. But we're not capturing the content because people are not doing it in a very organized way. And so Gap was actually what began to bring us in close interface with artists and musicians. And we had people like Two Face at Gap, at Plantation Boys then. We had Style Plus, we had Rule Clean, we had obviously 6 Foot Plus himself. Now it was 6 Foot Plus that we started managing 6 Foot Plus first.
So, are you serious?
We're managing 6 Foot Plus. Wow. I need to go to hang at my place. I have some old pictures if I show you now. And then one day he played Nabaka to me.
Mm.
I said, what is this? Like, who is this guy? And then I went to church, and then I used to go to Ekwa Wusesu Church in Abuja. And then I now saw Jeremiah Gang album. So when I saw the album, I said, I bought the album, and it was the most perfect album I'd heard from a Nigerian artist in eons, like ever.
That's
when I started doing some more research. I'm like, look, we need to find this Jeremiah guy. And so Jeremiah was the first artist that we actually did a proper deal with. So that was our first guy.
Wow. So Manage 6 Foot signed Jeremiah, then MI and the rest of the Chalk Boys, right?
Yeah, they all came in after.
Okay, so I want you to talk about moving from Jos/Abuja to Lagos, where number one, hip hop wasn't really, you know, at the time wasn't really accepted per se, you know, and MI style of music probably at the time wasn't expected. Do you know the first time I heard Crowd Mentality? I heard it on DBMC. Can you remember DBMC?
Yeah.
I heard it on DBMC's show, and I honestly thought it was one of the Countdown jams. And I heard Ice Prince's Supernatural. But I think Supernatural came after Crowd Mentality. But Crowd Mentality was like, what am I hearing? Then I think the video came out, and you know, I was seeing places in Jos, and I could not just believe it. Anyway, so that was very exciting. Then, you know, you guys moved to Abuja, then I think Lagos. But how, number one, what gave you the audacity to think you guys could conquer, you know, the Lagos entertainment space? That's one. Two, and how did you guys navigate all of that? Because I'm sure it must have been crazy. Who are these northerners? Where are they coming from? Yeah. What is this? You know?
Yeah.
A little bit of that. No, let's hear it.
So I think that one crucial thing that we must impact upon our children and the people that we work with is self-confidence. And the self-confidence not based off of material things. Unfortunately, many people, I remember that when I was younger, like in school, like I asked somebody, like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? No, I don't have a girlfriend. Why don't you have a girlfriend? I don't have money. So I'm like, do you need money to have a girlfriend? You know, or when you ask an entrepreneur, I have an idea. I want to start a business. Okay, well, why haven't you started it? I don't have money. Because you're basing your self-confidence on material things, tangible things.
Right.
The truth that it all starts from here. It's about here.
Uh-huh.
You see, you must understand that business success, failure is in the mind. So your mindset is important, because then you're not intimidated by going to places. Yeah, perspective, position, and personality.
Right.
Those three P's are very, very important in anything that you do. So, first of all, let me say a bit about my background. I'm from Kaduna State, from Jabba local government, and I'm a Christian. And what I grew up, my parents, I grew up in Lagos. I'm a Lagos boy through and through. So, I went to Adrao, I went to King's College Lagos. While I was at University of Jos, I lived in Lagos. So many people have the perception that I'm a Jos boy. I'm not a Jos boy. I just went to school in Jos. That's it. That's all. I'm not a Jos boy at all. So my interaction with Jos was limited to school. So let's just say that Lagos was not an unknown animal. But I moved out of Lagos for about 10 years because I was in law school, did law school, and I'd been away from Lagos for about 10 years thereafter, maybe 11, 12 years. But Lagos has always been part of my sort of my thing. So that's one part of it. But Chocolate City actually was formed because we thought that there was actually much more talent in the North, but very little representation from the North. Because when you think about P-Square and all these guys, P-Square came from Jos. They're Jos boys. When they were at Asha School in Jos, RMD, Viv, all these guys have a lot of Jos backgrounds. Taja, Epeche, Sound City, it's Jos.
Uh-huh.
Right? All these guys came from Jos.
Yeah.
Steve Brookers, Jos.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something in the air in Jos. And what I felt was that we needed to create something that could promote people, because this was a factory. So we could sell in Lagos, but Abuja is a factory, because I can get everywhere from Jos, Kaduna, Niger, Mina, all those places in Abuja, which is a conversation point. Besides, I was in Abuja. So, hey, it makes sense. You know, so that's one part of it. And so we actually started conquering globally from Abuja. And we're the first company to ever do that, up till today. Nobody else did that. We won our global awards, the British Council Award I won 2007. We're all from Abuja. We all did this from Abuja. But what happened now is, so at a point in time, we opened an office in Lagos. But what was clear was that I had staff that tried to defraud me in Lagos. In fact, they almost ruined my company at a point in time. Yeah, serious, some serious stuff. They defrauded the company, they wrecked company materials, and it was clear that Lagos was the hub. So we had to make a financial decision. For us to consolidate our position, we needed to be where we could make decisions faster and get to market quicker. Because think about the process. We create, we had to fly, hotels, so it was a lot of costs, and so it was more of an economic decision at that point in time. We had proven our point. We proven the point that we could do it from anywhere. Now is to make money. Now it's capitalized. So Lagos made sense for us to move into. And so we moved to Lagos in 2012. Why did we, and so the truth is that, I mean, just speaking very plainly for many people who are listening to this, because this is real talk. Just being from the north has been an issue in doing what we do. That's a fact. Because, I mean, I've been on red carpets when people say, how come you guys come from Jos and think and come and take over? Not once, not twice. Many times. Just the fact that you're a northerner, they're like, and because I don't look like a northerner, I'm not what they expect a northerner to be. But that's been the story of my life. When I was in King's College, I tweeted about this yesterday, about Aboki. I don't know why you saw the thing about the Aboki thing on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I was telling them, I said that, my first day in King's College, I kind of resumed later than every other person. So when I came to class, they said, what's your name? I said, my name is Aldo Mekori. And somebody said, Ikoi, and they were laughing. And then somebody was now saying, yeah, you're a Malam. I said, don't call me Malam. And he called me Malam again. I said, don't call me Malam. Was it Aboki? I can't remember, or both. And when he said again, I punched him and we started fighting. Because I was a bit of a gangster when I was younger. So
first day.
The first day of school. So they made us kneel down, the teachers of it, they made us kneel down. And then they said, the guy said, you new boy, you just came to here and you're fighting. I said, he cannot call me Malam. It's very derogatory and I won't take that because you cannot define me by where I come from. Wow. And so my journey in life has always been about defying the odds in spite of what you think I come from. You don't know me. You can't judge me because I was born in a place. And I think this is important for young entrepreneurs out there to know that it's not where you're from. It's where you're at.
I love
and
that.
So you need to be updating the software here and making sure that, because I mean, if you have an iPhone, whether you have a new iPhone X or iPhone 11, the software can be upgraded. Upgrade your, people are caught on the phone. No, it's not the phone. It's a software. So keep upgrading your software. And that's sort of the story that's been. So I don't know if I've answered your question.
Crazy. Yes, absolutely. Basically, perspective, personality, and position. You know, that's actually, you know, very, very, very true. Were there moments where you thought, man, this thing is not going to work, or let me fall back on my degree, let me just face the music, so to speak.
I had that moment just a few minutes before this call.
No way. This is 15 years later.
Yes, because you see, listen, people talk about entrepreneurship as if it's some kind of golden journey. It is not.
Yes, it is not.
It's tough as hell. It is tough as hell. Because when you work for someone, you're thinking about your salary. Yeah. When you employ people, you think about their salaries.
Yeah, right.
Right? When you think about that, it's like having a lot of children running up and down and being responsible for each and every one of them. So I don't think it gets better. I think you become more professional and you get more skills and much more tools to be able to handle it. The truth is that after we dealt with Jeremiah Gang, I remember that we started promoting this artist and he had blown up. In 6 months, he was everywhere.
He was
everywhere and was crazy. And
like Nabata was being played in clubs.
Was playing in Israel. Was charting in Israel, bro. Was being charted in Israel. In Canada, his music was being studied by a school of music. So it was global.
Wow.
And this was off of a few months of work. So it was really, it was a high for us. But then one day, what happened was typical. You moved to Lagos and we're doing that. And then people in Lagos were like, what are you doing with Chocolate City? Who is that? Of course, I'll do it because you never heard of him. He's nobody. Stop messing with these guys. They have nothing. Come to us. We have cash. You know, one of them offered a car. I said, you get a car. Now forget about this guy. But what's so interesting about this story for many people that are watching this story is that at a point in time, when I started, my whole aim was to sell the artist to Storm Records, Kenny's Music, or somebody else. That was my whole aim. My whole aim was, okay, I found this artist, it's good, we can do the promotion. You guys come in and take over. That was the whole aim. So in a weird twist of luck or life, it now became that those people were now trying to sign him behind us. We were naming names, but there were several labels that were interested. And this guy was not one of the major guys, but he just came and said, I have a car, stop wasting your time. Come in with this guy. And it's a lesson to learn that when you have, you see, people don't come in when you're in the process. But when they've seen the progress, they want a piece of that. But a key lesson in life as an entrepreneur, whatever you do, is this. If you don't take part in the process, don't ask for proceeds from the progress. And that's the problem with, if you look at politics in Nigeria, that's the problem. The young people aren't taking part in the process, but they want to dispose from the progress. You can't. You didn't sow, so why do you want to reap? So just going back to the conversation was that when you have something that's good, people come for it. People are going to come and say they want to be part of it. And it's for you to make up your mind how you want to play it. I never took it personal, it's business. Right? It's a hot commodity. Yeah. And it will happen throughout. In fact, that is a sign that you are making some progress. Maybe we'll reach out and say, hey, what's up? Can we do this? And what we basically just did was, at a point in time, he woke up and just said he wasn't going to do the deal. Like, he just disappeared. We didn't hear from him again. Stopped taking shows because he was in control of the Lagos people and all that. And I remember that we had to talk to my partners. One of my partners was like, look, Aldo, you know what? This thing is not worth it. You know, do you know how much money we're put into that we don't even have? Like the sacrifice. At the time, and I recall one time, and I'm not trying to play the emotional card, but I recall that one time I was on a bike, because I want to keep it real. People see us driving cars and houses and doing things like that, and they're saying, oh, wow. I want to be like, no, it took years, guys. It took a lot of work. And it's legitimate money. By the way, it's not stolen money. That's the great thing about us. We can talk about our money and we can say, this is how we got it, and God blessed us. But it was hard work. And I remember that one time I left Alaba Market, hopped on several buses, or was in Okada in Obalende, in Marina, running to go and drop a CD to be taken to Abuja for a show we're having, right? And something flew into my eye. I went and delivered the errand, came back home. My eye was swollen that evening. Very big. Water was coming out. It was crazy. So I feel like, don't worry, just blow it out. They kept on blowing. Nothing happened. And I just had a premonition like, look, you know what? Just go to the eye doctor. And when I got to the eye doctor, they had to do a mini operation on my eye to remove a piece of metal in my eye. And the guy said that if I waited a bit longer, I could be blind. I would have been blinded from that. So you can imagine going through those sacrifices, and then one day somebody wakes up and says, you haven't done shit for me. Are you crazy? I gave you money that I don't even have. I borrowed money I didn't have. And people don't see the side of what we do as investors.
Right.
You know, if you think about the amount of money that you're putting in music business, if I put that in land, I'll be a billionaire today. Facts. The amount of money I put in music business, but you're not even getting those returns. So I'm not saying that it's not a discouraging story, by the way. So I'm looking upset. I'm just simply saying this is the
real.
It's real. It's difficult. People don't see that. All they hear is the artist jumping up and down. They're like, oh, what are they doing? It's freaking expensive. It's freaking difficult. And it's tasking. So when you wake up and one guy wakes up and says, well, you know what? You're not doing enough. I'm going to go. My whole team were like, you know what? What are we doing this business for? Let's just give it up. like, no, we're not going to give it up. We started the journey. We're going to see it through. And probably that's the last lesson around entrepreneurship. You see, I saw a tweet the other day, very funny. It said, toilet paper and tissue paper, I didn't know they were blue, you know, until now. You know, being consistent. And that is really the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is the power to go on in spite of the odds. And that's what we're
doing. That's great. Just staying power, basically.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Awesome. So how did you manage signing artists? You know, how did you mix business and like using your head and your heart? Like, I really love this sound and I would love to see this, and fighting with your head, like, does this make business sense? Do you get it? So how did you manage your roster? You had amazing talented people, you know, on the roster. Some have gone, some have left, some are still around, you know. How did you manage all of that? Signing this and letting go of some. You know, I'm sure you met different people.
Yeah.
You know, that's
Yeah.
And we're creative enough, but you do not make business sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's about the team, guys. You know, it's easy for me to sit down and sound like I did everything, but it's not true. It's not true. It's always about the team. It's always about finding people who you can trust and who can build something with you. So I must be true to my team, to my partners who were playing different roles. And sometimes, you know, it's like a band. People only see the lead singer and they don't see the other people, sound engineers and things. So, I think that's one part. That's one part of it. But the second thing is that we had to just. So let me say a bit about my background. I am a music person through and through. People look at me as a businessman, but I'm totally a creative. I paint. I write. I write poetry. I rap when I was younger. Yeah. So it must come from somewhere. You don't make this kind of sacrifice off of music. I was making much money from legal practice than music for years. By far, you can't even compare the money I was making as a lawyer to what I was making from music. But it's the passion. It's the fact that this industry changes lives. Think about a nobody who was begging on the street, and tomorrow the person is a huge star with 4 million followers. He's bought a house for his family. He's been in community center. There's no other career apart from show business that creates this exponential growth. There's nothing like that. So for me, like, that's a harvest. The harvest is waking up and seeing. I mean, sometimes, imagine that times. One day, I'm driving and MI just sends me an alert. Sends me cash. I didn't ask him for cash. He just sent me, hey, I'll do, here's something, man, just chill. And it was small money. I'm like, wow. I mean, it's amazing. Then I'm flashing back to when he used to come every day with the demo. Hey, boss, listen to this song. Hey, boss, listen to this song. And now he's built his own empire, and so for me, that's my success. Like, for me, that's really what it is. So, and I say that because you need to understand that it's a blend of several things. It's one, you must love it. It must be something you really like doing. Although, of course, I'm not in music full-time anymore. I'm just a grandpapa now, and I'm just watching, and we've groomed a very strong team of people who are pushing it. But I'm still interested. I'm interested in the creative process. I'm interested in how they come across the songs and how we can help to leverage the conversation. But even in growing the roster, we had a team. Okay. Because many people don't understand that MI was made part of my management. He was made a director. I gave him equity in Chocolate City in 2009.
Four years.
Yeah, no, not many people have done that. Wow. Even though I doubt there's any label that has been able to empower and bring in artists and bring them to managerial levels or do that. I don't think there's anybody that's done that. And the reason why we've done that is not because we feel we're the messiahs of the music industry. Is that we want a vision that's bigger than us. They have to be bigger than you. You know, people still come and say, I'm the one to speak. I don't want to speak. Yeah, because I'm already out. I've gone beyond music now, right? But I mean, with all this, I'm a global brand on any level
right.
but music. So, sure. Who are the next Aldous? That's my aim. My aim is I want to create more outdoors. I want bigger outdoors. I want to be bigger, better than I am. And the only way you can do that is empowering your team. And so what we try to do is create a team of people from around the country. The only criteria that we want is that you are passionate, you are open, and you're really focused on creating something bigger than yourself. That's all.
Man, I love that.
That's all. So that's how we grew it. You know, yeah, that's how
I
think.
I really love that. So would you say your definition of success has changed or evolved over the years?
Yeah, it has changed.
So can you share from what it was before to what it is now?
So before, so I mean, you know, and it changes for every person. You're, like success would be, I remember when the most expensive, well, the first expensive car I actually bought, the first day I went, somebody just called me and said, oh, go check out this bro. And then I entered the car and I said, Jesus Christ, if I have this car, my life will change. Like I said, no, I can't imagine driving this car. Like it was a dream car. These cars I used to see on TV and people like, I'm like, no, I can't. And then I realized I could actually afford to buy the car. So when I did buy the car, for me, I was like, well, if I die now, I'm successful. As silly as that, that would sound. Mm-hmm. That was what I felt at that time. And another
what year was that? Can you remember?
2009. Okay. 2010, I think. 10. It was 2010.
Okay.
You know, so that was one level of success. Another part was when, in 2007, I went for the British Council competition, the IYMUI. I'm like, well, I need to win the Nigerian one. 2006, I competed for it and I lost. So I competed in 2007 reluctantly. And then they announced that I'd won for Nigeria, but I was going to go on in compete globally with 9 other countries from around Europe, Asia, and Africa. And one other country in Africa. So I was just like, man, if I ever win this award, Jesus, I mean, I'm going to be a global. Like I was, if this ever happened to me, Jesus, you know? And it happened, and I won it. And when they announced my name, I was holding a camera recording the person who was going to win. Because there's a guy I thought who was going to win. We all thought the black guy was going to win. So like, and the winner is, and I'm recording the guy. Because I wanted to send the video to all my people. I was in Korea. What? Yeah. I just dropped the camera. It broke because. And at that point, I was like, wow, global award. So there have been different stages where I felt that it was punctuated by a material occurrence. But what I've learned over time is that that's not what success is. True success is measured when I'm in my tone, right? And people are like, oh, Aldo did this. Overall, he lived a successful life. I think that's when you can truly say you're successful after your journey is over.
Yeah,
because there are ups and downs in life. But I would say that my greatest success personally, I know you didn't ask me that, but I'm going to just volunteer that. Is what I told you before, seeing people coming from nothing and becoming something and knowing that you contributed in some way to that success story. That for me is true success.
Love that. So like creating more outdoors. And I saw, I think on your LinkedIn, you're trying to start some form of mentorship program.
Yes.
How are you working
so that? I was so what I'm doing now is that I was struggling with technology. I was looking for the best platform and I just realized that the best thing would be I wanted to use Zoom. Then there was the hacking of Zoom that was going on around. Mm-hmm. People were a bit confused with it. But just looking at all the platforms, I think that Zoom is still the best thing. Instagram Live, my problem with Instagram Live is that it's not deep. Right? It's good for the surface, but if you want to go into deep conversations, it might not be the best platform. So I'm launching that, and the past 2 weeks have been quite crazy as well. But the intention is to launch it early next week, right? Where we can sit down, and just invite like 50 people in the room. Once it's 50 people, we lock the room, and we start, because otherwise it's not going to be very productive. If there are too many people on the call, unless it's when I'm doing like a lecture, or I'm presenting a paper, or I have a guest presenter. So it's not going to just be me. I'm going to bring in some of my very good friends from the industry to talk to people and share ideas. And I think that is the biggest thing we can do now, empower our minds, enrich ourselves, and collaborate. The collaboration is the new competition. It is the only way we can win right now, because we're all in little islands now, right?
Yeah.
All under house arrest. So, you know, for there to be a jailbreak, the inmates have to cooperate. One person can't do a jailbreak by himself. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's the plan.
Right. Facts, man. Awesome. So what was it like, you know, being at the breakfast meeting with Jay, Diddy, you know, and the other guys, hip hop heads,
It was so to be honest, that was second time. Last year was my first time ever doing that. And I remember at the point in time, I mean, with let's say this year was more engaging, because obviously you now know people a bit better. But last year, really, I think my aha moment was there's a point where we were standing and Kevin Hart was giving a toast, and we're all standing like in a circle. And then I looked to my left and Jay was like next to me, and then looked to like almost standing next to Kevin was Puffy. And then there was, what's this guy's name? I forget his name. The guy that passed, the light guy, the young guy that was killed last year, the rapper, not Future, the one that was killed. Nipsey Hussle. Yeah. He was at brunch there last year. He was there last year as well. Nipsey Hussle.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So your internet, I see, is dragging on a bit. Yeah.
See, it's glow.
And
yes,
and it's glow, Abby. You know, so we're standing, and at a point in time, I did a double take. I like, come, I'm standing with these guys, sipping champagne, and it's just realized that these are the guys I grew up listening to on radio, and it was the wildest dream ever that I would ever be hanging out with these guys. I mean, at best, maybe do like an autograph or photograph and just see them passing by. But here you're chilling and talking about Africa and things that we can do together. So then this year was different. I mean, it was great. I mean, hanging out with Dave Chappelle, talking about doing a tour and some things like that, or Kevin Hart and all that. And it just changed it. For me, it was like, okay, so anybody can do this. You know what I'm saying? It's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but it's not a big deal. They're human beings like us. They're not much more intelligent than you. They're not much more exposed. But the difference is that it only started because of those days in the bike when my eye almost went off. In those frustrating moments when you're like, am I going to keep on doing this or not? When you're being dragged on the internet and people are saying you're abusing artists or you're a failure or you're an asshole. Everything led to that moment. And that is a key thing that we need to understand, that there are sacrifices. And what we do is we smell the roses and don't bother too much about the thorns around the roses. Because if you do, then there'll be no roses in the world. Yeah, so that's it. I mean, it was great. And I see, I mean, I'm more excited about now Africa's coming to their own. Like now, it's changed. When you say Nigeria, oh, from Nigeria? Oh, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
People, musicians, actors, models, whatever. Wow, there is a totally different perception. And that shows you that there's something special about our people. There is something special that we have. But it needs hard work, professionalism, and refinement for us to take it to the next level.
Love that. Amazing. I want you to speak to two sets of people. Someone that's about to start a business right now, that's considering starting a business or running a business, someone like myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And we are all affected by the pandemic, you know. So speak to business people, but also speak to like creatives.
Mm.
Like, how should they navigate this? You know, there are people that probably want to pursue a creative career, but, you know, they can't feed, or, you know, they're just in that space.
Mm.
Probably start with someone like myself, you know, that's running a business. Just what should they be thinking about in this moment? Then speak to the creative, and what should their mindset be as well in this moment?
In terms of the COVID, you're talking about the COVID situation.
Yes, and you know, the possible global recession that is coming, or that we are in already, sir.
So I was speaking to one of my mentors a few days ago, and I said to him, I said, what do you think we should do? Like, see our business going, what should we do? And he said, well, the first thing you have to do is you have to think about conserving cash. You have to conserve cash, because when there's a recession, people become more desperate and cash becomes king. So being able to have money for emergencies is very, very key. The second thing you have to think about is that you have to cut down every excessive thing that is not necessary. If you had 4 subscriptions for a service, cut down to 2. It's not so much that you might not make it out of it. It's that you need to be able to breathe as long as there's oxygen. And oxygen is cash. So if you can take smaller breaths, let's say oxygen were like 50, like you have 100% oxygen, and now you can cut down to 50. You can, and then you should take like 2 deep breaths every breath. Then take 1 or take a quarter, because you need to mine the oxygen for as long as possible. Right. But I think it's a great time for innovation. It is a great time for innovation. So look at it before. You invited me to this campfire before. I couldn't make it physically. I was not available. But you could have done this. But now it's
honestly.
But now, so everybody's not thinking. Think about how work cultures will change. And one thing that I'll be doing in my Zoom call is talking about what the future looks like. I'm going to do a whole session about what the future will look like. Because in a sense, it's important to begin to project what the future will look like. Do you know now that there'll be less demand for office space even after this pandemic?
Yeah.
Why do I need an office? I need a desk and internet. If my rent is, say, 4 million naira a year, and I can dedicate 1 million naira on serious internet, fast internet, and get the tools, why am I paying 2 rents? My house rent and my office rent? I'll pay. I'll just create 1 small room right now. Right now, what we're doing is real office stuff. This is what you needed a studio before to do, Abi. But now you're doing it for free. So that will change. I think another thing that we need to understand is that food business. Delivery of food services than dining out. In our people in the music business, for example, how many times are you going to go to a concert now without being afraid of wearing a mask? So the experience, even for us in music business, the experience must be so great that it's worth the risk. Because the masks shall be a new normal. Everywhere you go, you have masks. Now, what does the mask mean? It means too that there's a security problem. You are not able to see people as they're moving up and down. So people can hide as thieves or whatever with the mask, you know?
Wow.
And then I would also say that this is the best time now to begin to seriously collaborate. And one of the things that I want to push as a narrative is collaboration. Collaboration. If 4 of us can get together and say, I have 50K, you have 50K, we want to do a giveaway. Then why can't, so imagine that you have 50K, won't do a 20K giveaway. If you gave me 10K and I gave you 10K, both of us can do a 20K giveaway. And we can also benefit from the stream that we're talking about. And I see that stuff somewhere. So what do I want to be or that I'll do? What does it have to be about me all the time? Why can't it be about we? After all, the we is still me and you.
All right.
So is it wrong to share the space? It's not wrong. You have this screen now. This screen is split into 2, Abi. You're sharing the space, I'm sharing the space. Are we dead? We're not dead. But I can also go online and start talking about myself, talking to the crowd about myself, like some people do as well. But why not join our platforms? Why don't you bring 2 different demographics together in whatever business you're trying to do?
Love that. So how about for creatives? For creatives, you know, there's a rapper watching, you know, there's a DJ watching, actors, actresses, people that are trying to get into
collaboration. Okay. As way back as 6 years ago, I met, I was at some event in Philadelphia, and I met a producer who was scoring a film track from his studio at home and wasn't even around where the film was being shot. So what they were doing was they're sending, this was 6 years ago. Technology wasn't even as bad as, data wasn't as fast. And they were sending the images and he was scoring the movie remotely in cloud. Wow. So I'm saying that, is it difficult for Let's say you're a rapper now. Is it hard for me and you to do a song? It's not that difficult. Here's the beat, bro. Okay. Your verse starts from 2 minutes, 15 seconds, 16 mm-hmm. bars. You send it to me, I WhatsApp it back to myself. I send it to my sound producer. He works at it from himself, sends it back. So there's a lot of opportunity. In fact, let me tell you the truth. This is the best time to collaborate. Because you have a very captive audience. They are bored. They're looking for new things to switch up. So why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do it? Yeah, and guess what? It's cheaper for you to promote now. It's cheaper.
Yes.
Put some small money on your Facebook ads, on your Instagram ads and Google, and stop wasting your time with radio. Radio isn't functioning anymore. You're not listening to radio anymore. You're not in the car. So what are you listening to radio for? TV, who watches TV really anymore? You get what I'm saying? Not that much. I mean, for the masses, maybe. But I think that for the people who are actually streaming and who can influence your content, because remember, your content has to go to the influencers first. Then it goes to the masses.
Yeah.
Your influencers are watching TV. So target them here on platforms like this and, begin to do it.
Man, amazing, amazing, amazing. So collaboration. So one thing I love, I think I see you doing, I think after your classes, you were in some school also at some
MIT.
Point, I think. Yes, MIT. Yeah. And I saw you were pushing the African narrative, telling African stories, which is kind of what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
And you're trying to do mentorship now, which is all good. What do you think the world doesn't know about us that we should start telling them?
Oh, man, they don't know anything about us. They don't know anything.
At all.
They don't know anything about us. But guess what? Guess what's worse? We don't know anything about ourselves. We don't.
You know, that's so true. When I tell people I'm from Plateau States, they just assume, especially with my surname, they just assume I'm Hausa. And I'm like, no, I'm not Hausa. I'm Angas. Like, what is Angas? I'm like, it's a tribe from Plateau State. But you speak Hausa? I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you speak English, are you from England? You know, so you're so right. We need to educate ourselves first as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that man, know thyself. But more importantly, know thy neighbor, because you don't live by yourself, you know. So I think the best Nigerians are Nigerians who are born in one part that live in another part and that probably even married in another part, because that way you get a sense of sort of the broad groups, right? And just living is education. But I think what they don't know about the African story is that, one, Africa is not a country. I tell people that Africa is a tribe. It's a tribe, which is even worse than the country. But it's a tribe. And it's a tribe where people of this color have always been misrepresented, underrepresented, and totally maltreated by other folk. We've always had the thing. And you can hear what's happening in China with Nigerians in China. Chinese people are taking this on Nigerians because Nigeria has not shown them the red card. They need us to survive. They're making money from all of us. But you see, because we're not even aware of who we are, we don't even know. You see, I use the analogy all the time, and I use this more in a religious context, but I'll use it here. If you woke up today, Jesse, and I found out that President Buhari is your first cousin, the way you walk into the villa, won't it change?
I won't lie, it will change. Yeah.
Will change. When people understand who they are, the way they walk will change. I don't think we're going to realize who we are. And that's why we're so ultimately. When you know who you are, there's where you walk into. Imagine you're going to your office and one day you say, oh, Jesse, your dad just gave me this. He left this house for you. The way you walk into the house is different now. Before you're walking like, whatever, man, I need to pay this guy's rent. Now you're walking like, man, pay my rent. You know, it changes. So we need to change that perspective. And it's the stories that we tell. So it's not just about telling the African story. It's telling the right African stories.
The right African stories. I love that.
Yeah. What is it about? What are we proud about? What have we done? What are we most proud of? What is our essence? That is what's key. And once we do that, you see a shift in, and it's already shifting, isn't it? It's shifting already.
Mm-hmm. It is. But it is, actually.
More. But we need more.
Yeah, I think the entertainment industry is doing well in pushing the positive narrative. And so that's especially like New Nollywood and some of the music.
Oh yeah, New Nollywood. Yeah, shout out to New Nollywood, man. I'm a big fan.
So I have one more question, but I have a business proposal for you, or a pitch, Boss, you need to do.
God is so great, because before this call, I was saying I need money. I didn't know that this money comes from you. I'm so grateful. God bless you. I want to keep this check.
Okay, just listen. Just listen.
Okay.
Just listen. You have a 15 years journey with Chocolate City. Yes, you need to please tell that story one way or the other. I don't know if anybody on Choc City is watching this, but there should be some form of the chocolate documentary or something. I'm proposing to be one of the candidates, to help document that. But we need to tell that story. We need to push that narrative for us, because
absolutely right. Absolutely right. We have been working on it. Corona.
Oh, okay.
We have. We've been working on a couple of things which I can't reveal right now. But Corona has actually taken a bite off the steam. But no matter, we're working on it. And if you have any ideas, really, you have my contact. Hit me up. Let's discuss. Yes. I'm always open. I'm a big, just know something, I'm a big, shot big advocate shoot. For partnership. Big, yeah. And the shot has scored, hopefully. Unless the referee says that it was not a real goal.
I beg VAR to chill.
Sure.
So, last question. Okay, so I think people are asking, so just you answer this so that we're around. People are asking if your mentorship is going to be paid, so you answer that. But I want you to close with, what do you know now that you wish you knew 15 years ago?
So my mentorship is, when I take you as a mentor, no, you do not pay me. But when you're asking for strategic consulting, because I help people set up companies, I help people I have a legal consultancy as well. So if you have a contract, structuring your deals, that's my specialty. And also, if you are interested in kind of helping to set up your company or whatever, we can do a turnkey project for you. So I get paid for that. But if I take you as a mentor, it's free, because my expectation is that you also pay it back and do to other people as well. So those are my conditions. You sign a contract and promise that you mentor other people, then my mentorship is free. But if you don't do so, then I'm not going to mentor you, because it's gabada gabenta. In terms of what was the last question you asked me about?
What do you know now that you wish in your 15 years ago? When you started?
What I know now is that don't be afraid to take a loan if you know you're going to reinvest the loan properly. I never took loans for a very long time. For many years, I think Chocolate City only recently ever did something around a partnership, which was cleverly. We started doing that, and that's why we've been able to expand very cleverly in what we're doing. Because unbeknownst to you, I don't know if you know that, but Chocolate City is actually 4 companies. Music is just one component of our businesses. And so we have a CCX Lounge. We have one in Abuja. We have one in Lagos. We have a publishing company called Repeat. We have an activation agency as well. And we have a distribution company. So we do about 4 different activities, and now we're going to content production. And stuff like that. So what changed the story was, I just didn't want to go in debt. So we're not a heavily indebted company, thankfully, right? But now we've structured the deals differently. Now we're accessing money that we're afraid to take before. Okay. Let me say, I was afraid to take, because I didn't want any BC. But companies cannot grow without cash injection. So don't be afraid to take a loan. As long as you're not taking the loan to buy a fancy car or to look nice for and be driving flying business class, if you're investing in the business, then please, by all means, access the money, because you need that to grow. You need that money to grow your business.
Okay. All right, guys. Please, I need you to put your hands together, put the fire emoji, put the clapping emoji for Aldo, and just appreciate you know the wisdom that he poured out this evening. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Can you save this? Because people are asking me, I'm getting DMs.
Definitely. I'm even going to download it.
Okay, great.
Put it on our YouTube as well.
Okay, cool. And if you send me a copy, it would be great. So I can also show it to my people. All right, guys. Thank you. Jesse, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Let me say something. Let me say something to you as well. What you're doing is brilliant. And I think that we need more conversations about this. It is not going to be easy, but listen, what you're sown, you will reap. So don't despise this small thing you're doing. You think it's small. It's not small. Don't be discouraged because you're not seeing a billion numbers. No. But what will happen is that in a year's time, you and I will have a conversation by God's grace. And we'll review what you've done.
Amen.
And you'll be surprised how far you've gone from what you think. Because it's about the passion, the purpose, right? Right? And the push that will determine how far you go. And I see you going all the way. And everybody listening to this as well.
Thanks so much.
My friend Muntasir, I love you. Bethel, my guy, nice. A lot of you guys are doing the call. Thank you for being there. Thank you. God bless you. And stay safe. Wash your hands. Avoid coronavirus.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks.
And stay at home.
Stay at home. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, guys.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed talking to Aldo Mekori and just listening and hearing his stories and him sharing insights. Please, if you like this episode, consider subscribing, giving us a positive rating on whatever platform you're using, and sharing with your friends this episode. Okay, I want to introduce you to a course that I am hosting in November of 2021. Just go to jessedanyusuf.co to get more information. jessedanyusuf.co. Join our newsletter, stay in touch, and you'll be getting stories and insights about the creative industry, creative entrepreneurship, and more. Have an amazing day. God bless.